It's time for the Hockey Writers Grindline, a weekly show covering everything Detroit Red Wings. Brought to you by our own iconic top line of Wings writers. Sit back and enjoy the grind.
Welcome to the Hockey Writers Grind Line. I am your host, Pat Brown, and joining me, as always, my line mate, Devin Little. Devin, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Pat?
Doing great. Wonderful way to kick off a weekend, as always. Also joining us tonight, because Kyle is out on long-term getting married reserve, we've got managing editor of Detroit Red Wings blog, Octopus Thrower, Nate Brown, a great friend of the show. Nate, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. Dylan Larkin had a nice goal tonight, so yep, I'm good.
I like it. And we are here to remind you at home, this week's show is being brought to you by Morning Skate, a daily newsletter delivered to your inbox Monday through Friday, and it is jam-packed with the best hockey stuff on the planet. It's a daily dose of the latest NHL news, rumors, history, funnies, quizzes, et cetera, just a little hockey fun and information brought to you every day of the week from the Hockey Writers. You'll see a link down there in our show description, so be sure to check it out. Sign up for the newsletter. Toss us a like while you're down there. What else you got to do? And we appreciate you following us as always. So, all right, we've paid some of our bills. Let's talk hockey, fellas. And we're going to start with an oldie but a goodie, our one good, one bad. But we're going to change it up a little bit since we're at about the midway point of the season. Want to go with one good, one bad for the first half of the season, and I will quickly throw mine out first. I'm going to throw the good out there as the rookies. We got Lucas Raymond, we got Moritz Seider, and it's still hard to believe that Alex Nedeljkovic is a rookie, but he is, yeah. Technically. And those three are leading the way. So much fun to watch. They've had such an impact on this team this season, and the future is clearly bright, so that's my one good. And my bad is going to be the inconsistency of this team. It's been maddening at times to see them play super well, even against good teams, and then show up and lay an egg time after time and drop four or five in a row. Not even that wasn't expected this year, because this is not a team that's yet ready to contend, but it's still just mind-boggling and maddening to watch. So that's my one good, one bad for the first half of the season. Devin, over to you. One good, one bad from the Red Wings for the first half this year. What you got?
Well, my one bad, I'm going to pick the low-hanging fruit here. It's got to be Filip Zadina. Going back to a show we had over the summer, we were talking about people that we wanted to see take a step forward. And I remember listing Zadina as a player I wanted to see take a step forward and hopefully kind of take a step to be, to be able to drive his own line. And I was looking at maybe him really kind of carrying the weight on the second line. And he was put on the second line to start the season. And as we all know at this point, he is not carrying any line. So hopefully he has a better second half than his first half. As for my one good, I'm going to go. Now, everybody knock on wood with me real quick. Injuries, with the exception of Vrana, obviously, and then Mitchell Stevens and Troy Stetcher. I see you like almost groaning over there, Nate. I know I'm jinxing it, but
they Rubens really Devin.
Exactly. hit me up if it happens. But the Rubens have avoided like a bunch of injuries. There's a lot of teams that have been hit a lot worse than them. For the most part, we've seen the full lineup. Larkin's missed a couple of games here and there. Bertuzzi's missed some games here and there for different reasons. But for the most part, you've pretty much got your lineup every single night. They got hit with COVID in December there. And I think they only ended up playing like two games where they're really hamstrung. But for the most part, you know, full health, and you can't really ask for anything much. You can't ask for much more than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's toss it over to the eldest Brown child, Nate Brown. Nate, what you got, one good, one bad on the first half of the season for the Red Wings?
To start with a goodie from Hans Moleman, Devin, now you've done it, because you know, I'm the first one that hits LTIR. I'm like getting on Twitter. The bad, I would say, I actually had this and you guys stole mine. The bad that I would have is the power play. It started out really well and we were all getting excited and it was fancy and fun. And then it kind of regressed. It picked up a little bit against Buffalo, that first end of the series last weekend. The good, I'm going to kind of go outside the box here. I love how loyal the fan base is, especially at home right now. I think that year away, I know it was empty and it had to be done, but it's like it's come back with like full furor, and it's for the first time it feels like home watching a game. Maybe I know the team wasn't as good. I mean, they're trending up, but it's loud. The crowd's into it, and we can't forget Devin's, you know, miracle like scream of what happened in that 40-second thread there at the game. But I mean, it's been a lot of fun to hear that reaction again, and it's felt. It's never going to be the Joe.
Of course.
Thank God, because the bathroom situation there was awful. But it's.
But it was that was our Joe.
Like a home game. What's that?
I said, but it was our Joe. It was it our was Joe.
It was our Joe.
Troughs and all.
Good that stuff. Way, exactly.
Good stuff. Well, I think that's really good. And actually, Nate, that's a really good call out about the fan base. And sure, they had to change all of the seat colors in the arena because people weren't showing up. But it you could also understand why they weren't drawing.
Maybe Buffalo should change their seats black to hide the fact that people aren't showing up to their games.
Maybe. It worked out well in Detroit. So
yeah.
Good stuff. We're going to move on and not exactly to Zadina levels quite yet. You got to give him a learning curve. But let's talk about Joe Valeno because, you know, calling it out, 4 points in 24 games this season. Obviously disappointing, but not to Zadina levels because he's only played 29 games in his career. You have to give the kid some time to develop at the professional level, but more was definitely expected out of him to this point of the year. No doubt about that. So Nate, we'll come to you first. Is there any concern about Joe Valeno's development in Detroit?
Should I do my DeKaiser answer? No. So that's a hard one to think about because Zadina came in with much higher expectations. He's going to put the puck in the net. He's going to score goals. He had the World Juniors. I think he had 6 goals in that. He did well in Juniors with Halifax. Valeno had he was granted exceptional status, but then he never really lived up to that, and he became kind of that two-way player. He slipped in the draft. The Red Wings got him late in the first, which I still think was a steal. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a second line, third line guy for his career. He's one of those role guys. The biggest thing, and you can go back to a lot of the guys, the pundits that analyzed it. The big question was, would he score goals? We're kind of seeing that now. Maybe not. Maybe that expectation. You need those role players where they come up with those big goals in the playoffs down the road, Darren Helm, Darren McCarty,
Chris Draper,
the incredible comeback is complete.
Absolutely.
But I think development has to be, and I wrote about this really quick, where there's this angst in Detroit because we've had lousy teams for about 8 years now, and there's been nothing to root for. And the Red Wings, because of Yzerman, because of that entire feeling, that's the one where I think everyone's like, okay, this has got to hit.
Yeah.
Calm down. And this was my resolution. Remember, my resolution. Let's just let things unfold. Yzerman's preach patience. I'm going to let things go. There is no timeline. Let's just let things be. Valeno's the least of my worries. Zadina. I know you guys have talked about that. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'm sure we will continue to, but good points. And for those of you at home, Nate, good call out. Drafted 30th overall, Valeno was in the 2018 NHL entry draft. So honestly, for my part, I didn't expect as many goals. I expected more of a playmaker. I expected more of a two-way forward, I would say. And he showed that early on last year. I think it was his very first game. Maybe it was a second one. You know where I'm going with this already. A nice little stick lift, turned around, had created a great opportunity for himself. And that's kind of what I expect to see out of him. So for my part, I think he needs time to develop. We're talking 29 games and Still not a ton to work with, a better roster than the Red Wings have had in years past, but not a ton to work with. He's not going to come in and carry the team. So, Nate, I have to say, I agree with your placement. Second line, probable, maybe third line, but middle six type role for Veleno, in my opinion. Devin, over to you. 4 points in 24 games. Are you concerned about Veleno's development in Detroit?
Generally speaking, I think Veleno's looked the best when he's had the puck on a stick. You know, there's been a couple of instances this season and last season where he's kind of done one of those Nyquist or Larkin shifts where he kind of travels around the offensive zone for a little bit. And I think that's when he's at his best, because he's got some good leg strength, and he's got, he knows where to go when he has the puck on his stick. Now, the problem with that is that he's, for the most part, been stuck on the fourth line with the Red Wings, and he doesn't have anyone to pass to. He's got Sam Gagner to pass the puck to. He's not being put in, like, you know, they're not putting the fourth line out there to, like, score goals. He's just not being put in an offensive position. We kind of talked about this with Adam Ernie last year, yeah, or last week. Different situation. But I think Veleno's somebody that has offensive potential. I'm not saying he's, you know, we talked about second or third line. Those are good quality guys that could chip, yeah, in. Veleno's not being given an opportunity to chip in. I would like to see him climb up the depth chart a bit. Maybe we have to wait for the trade deadline for pieces to get shipped out so he can move up.
Sure.
But as it is right now, I hate to say this, but I kind of would prefer to see him playing top line minutes Grand Rapids, because then he's being put in those offensive position in the offensive situations, and he's playing 18 to 20 minutes a night as opposed to 10 to 12 minutes, and he's just kind of out there to not hurt the team. I don't know that helps, yep, his development.
Yep. Well, with Verana's potential return later,
yeah,
you may get your wish yet, but we may talk about that in a little bit. But really good points all the way around. I think kind of it's unanimous. Don't hit the panic button on the kid just yet. There's hasn't been a whole lot of games played. Nate, looks like you want the final word. What
can I add? 30 seconds. Darren McCarty, I believe, came up in 93. Devin wouldn't know because he's probably in diapers at that point. But I think Darren McCarty was 93. I can't remember. Think about, he scored the big goal in the Stanley Cup final with his big, like, I mean, that's the big boy moments,
yeah,
in 97. So that's 4 years. He scores a hat trick against Wah in 02, which is 9 years.
Yep.
Again,
yep,
everything is overanalyzed at this point because we're online and everything else.
Sure. Yep.
It's more of just, again, like you guys said, the patience piece.
Yep.
There, I'm done. I was thinking about that as you guys were talking.
I really quick, before we go to our next topic, which we have to do, Devin, what year were you born?
94.
Yeah, he wasn't even in diapers yet, Nate.
I was glint in my father's eye.
I had to do that to you, Nate. I had to do that to you. All right. Yeah, we're gonna keep it going, because do you hear that in the distance?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mr. Johnny B, my boy, Jonathan Berggren, potentially Jonathan Berggren. Jury's still out on that. I'll try to have that for you next show. But my goodness, is the hype train alive and well with Johnny B. 27 points in 30 games with Grand Rapids, 8 goals, 19 assists, including a 4 assist game the other day. Yep. And everybody is writing everything. Well, I wrote about him a year and a half ago. Thank you very much. But everybody is writing everything about Johnny right now. So I ask our esteemed panel here, and Nate, we're going to start with you. Will we see Berggren in the lineup at the end, before the end of the season? Here, let me rephrase that. Nate, will we see Berggren in the lineup before the end of the year?
Yes. And I'm calling him JB, so I don't have to say his first name.
Not Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Exactly. I think he gets a cup of coffee. I think a lot depends too on what they do at the trade deadline and what room is there. I also think a lot depends if he stays healthy. I mean,
it's always been there.
But he has bulked up, if you've watched and seen. He does look a lot stronger on the puck. I mean, the move he made what was that, 3-4 days ago? I think I rewound that thing at least 4 or 5 times.
I think
it'll be very brief. I think it'll be to kind of, you know, whet his appetite a little bit to kind of see where he's at. They did that with Svechnikov. They did that with Zadina, just to kind of give them that opportunity. But I mean, it's only January, so hopefully we do see him. It'll be a lot of fun.
It's good stuff. I like the cup of coffee. You got to think it's probably, if you see him, that's probably going to be the situation. Yep. Devin, over to you. Are we going to see JB in the wing wheel before the season is up?
You know who else they gave a cup of coffee to? Mr. Joe Valeno.
They did.
I think that that is more or less what we're looking at here. I'm not expecting him to come in and finish out the season with the Red Wings anytime soon. But, after trade deadline, ship out maybe a couple forwards, maybe the last month of the season or so, give him 5 games, let him see what the NHL is all about, see what works for him, what doesn't work for him. I think going into next season, he's going to be given every opportunity to make the team, just like Lucas Raymond had this year.
Sure.
So I think it helps the Red Wings, and it behooves them to kind of show him what the NHL is all about, and to kind of show him, all right, this is where you got to get to over the summer. So put in the work. So I do expect to see him, not for a ton of time, but like you said, for that cup of coffee.
And all this talk about coffee, now I want some Tim Hortons and a sour cream glazed donut would be perfect. So we need to get Timmy Hortons back down here in Arizona, because there used to be one at Gila River Arena, but there is not anymore, sadly. My take.
No one tell you.
I like cold coffee. Cold brew. Yeah. Let me cold brew. My take on Bergen, I think, just like you guys said, absolutely health withstanding. And he struggled with that in the past. So again, knock on wood, any injuries happen, it's all Devin's fault. So at least he's absolved me from that. But health withstanding, I think you definitely see him come up for probably the end of the year or whatever, cup of coffee, like we've been saying. I think you see a flash. And I mean, how can you not, with what he's doing, how can you not give him a look, just to give him a taste? So good stuff, and really good perspective there. So appreciate it. Now we're going to tell you at home, we're not advertising for Tim Hortons. No, we are advertising for the Hockey Writers Morning Skate. So go to morningskate.io so you don't miss the best daily hockey newsletter, frankly, on the planet. It's delivered every weekday at 8 a.m. sharp so that you can be the first to know what's happening in the world of hockey. How about that transition, boys? All right. So we're in the bed.
You can have a
cup of Tim Hortons.
You can have Tim Hortons with the morning skate. There you go.
Oh, I like
it. There you go.
I like it. Maximize those opportunities. Very good. Let's go back.
Hit us up, Timmies. We can do this. Hit us up.
We certainly can. In fact, the hockey writers, I think it was Alex, with the Hockey Writers, who just did a nice profile on Tim Hortons' hockey career and subsequent coffee career. So you guys should check that out. I really enjoyed it, actually. It was pretty good. So good stuff. All right, let's get back to our comment corner, because we were back on the regular last week and we got our comments again. So thank you guys for chatting with us. We always enjoy going back and forth. Don't forget to leave those comments down below and let us know how crazy we are. And we're going to start with Mark Way, who indicates Mart Sider is the real deal, but is he too slow of a skater? There's some concern there around his speed. I will sound off super quick. I'm not concerned at all about his speed, because what's more important than speed is positioning and hockey IQ. And Nicholas Lidstrom, if you recall, and I know it was a different league back then. It was not nearly as fast as it is, but come on, Fedorov was fast. They had fast players. But Nicholas Lidstrom wasn't the fastest skater. He was just always in the right position. He was always making the smart play. And that's what Sider has, is that hockey IQ. In addition, I actually think Sider is deceivingly fast. I don't know if fast is the right word, but I don't think he's as slow as he looks. He's got a long stride. He's got a really smooth stride. And I think that can be kind of deceiving because he doesn't look like he's charging up and down the ice. So I probably took both of your talking points, which is why I went first, because I'm the host and I can do that. But Nate, we're going to come to you next. So Nate, tell us, Moritz Seider, are you concerned about his speed? Does he need to work on that leg strength and picking it up a little bit, or what do you make of that?
Yeah, this felt like a press your luck pass moment to Devin. I agree. Yeah, and that's it. All right,
sorry. We're good. Back on track now. Back on track.
It's like school. Everything you said is exactly right. Positioning is the most important part, but Yzerman's going to go after the high IQ guys, the guys who are going to make the plays, where if you've watched him, he just does these little deft things, like just as they're about to make this pass to get a high danger like shot, he just puts that stick and just redirects the puck somewhere else. The speed thing, sure, he's going to get turned inside out a couple times. He's young, and he's going to have to learn how to adapt to that. But yeah, I think the Lidstrom comparison's like really good. Again, different league, different style, everything else. But of all the players on the Red Wings, Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond are like at the very bottom of my list. So a good question. It's a great question.
Yeah, definitely. And an astute observation too, because kind of like what we said, he's not the fastest guy on the ice, and the way the league has gone the past decade or so, even a little bit more, it's a lot faster.
See it on the power play the most is where you see that lack of speed.
Yeah.
That's really where you see it.
Makes sense. Devin, over to you. Moritz Seider, are you concerned about his speed? What do you see out of the lad?
Two things here. One, when I read the comment, it's funny that the comment was on last week's episode, because you on the show, Pat, you laid out what made Lidstrom so good. And it wasn't his speed. It was his positioning. It was his hockey IQ. No one was going to say Lidstrom was the most mobile guy on the ice, but he was arguably the best defenseman to ever play the game. As we've already said, I think that comparison is really good, because I don't think Seider needs to be, I don't think he needs to have Larkin speed to be effective. He just needs to be smart. And he already at the age of 20 is a very smart hockey player. He's only going to get smarter. Second thought, you just kind of touched on something that I think is an interesting thing to kind of consider. The modern day defenseman, as people call it now, is effectively a fourth forward.
Yeah.
You see Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, all guys like that jumping up and essentially being that fourth forward. And they do that through their speed, through their offensive IQ, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that, that's the only way to be a modern day defenseman. I don't think that being a forward makes you a good defenseman. I think that being a defenseman makes you a good defenseman. And I think that Seider is never going to be that fourth forward, but I think he's going to be the best defenseman on the ice. He's going to be an Alex Pietrangelo, Nick Lidstrom type of guy who just takes care of business and knows what to do in the offensive zone. He doesn't need to jump up in the play. He'll be back there quarterbacking it. And that's perfectly fine.
God, that was poetry. Devin, that was poetry. Nice work, boys. We're off to a strong start here in comment corner. I like it. So up next, we've got a comment from Lord Venom. I love this question so much. Who would you replace Blasio with if he ends up getting canned this year? And I'm just going to go with two words and kind of drop the proverbial mic and pass it along to Devin here. I'm going to say Igor Larionov. That's my pick. So Devin, to you, who would you replace Jeff Blasio with if he ends up getting let go at the end of the year?
Well, the caveat here is that, yeah, I have to replace him because I don't know that I would at this point.
Right. Yeah, that's the caveat. Absolutely. Yeah. It's hypothetical. He was fired. Who are you bringing in?
Yeah. I think we're on record at this point that we're all, Kyle included, pretty keen on the idea of bringing Larionov in. So I'll echo that statement too. A couple other guys that kind of come to mind. If you want to bring in like a more experienced guy, because let's not forget this is Jeff Blashill's first coaching stint in the NHL. Paul Maurice just became available. He's definitely about as experienced of a guy as you could get, and he's had success. He was the head coach of that Carolina team that the Wings demolished in 2002, so he knows how to get a team to the promised land, kind of. But and then there's a couple other guys that I like. I like Jay Woodcroft, which is the coach of the Bakersfield Condors. He was an assistant with San Jose in the in both of those 2010 and 2011 series where the Sharks just took it to the Red Wings. And I think he's learned from the right guy. And that right guy is Todd McClellan. And if he ever becomes available from the LA Kings, I would be very interested in seeing him join the Red Wings. Remember, he was an assistant with Babcock back in the day. So those are a couple of guys that come to mind.
Those are solid ideas. Sorry, I laughed there, but I like how you're selling the idea of a guy and at the same time saying the team that got demolished in the finals. I mean, come on. It was the 2002 Red Wings.
Well, I was going to say, under any other circumstances, that team might have stood a chance.
Right. 10 Hall of Famers on that team, and that's not even including Datsyuk, who's not in the Hall of Fame yet, but will be. So absolutely crazy, but really good points for sure. So, Nate, over to you. If Blashill gets let go, who do you bring in? Who's the next coach of the Red Wings?
I said online it should be Devin. So that's it. I'm done.
I'll take the job.
There you go. Just let me be the video coach or something. I just want to watch video all day and be like, yeah, guys, look at this. More cider. Slow. Here it is right here. Well,
you just said you're watching Eisenman goals, so yeah, you're hired.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, YouTube. You're not on YouTube. It's the game. Lane Lambert, I think, is a good option. I think I like him. Obviously, that was Eiserman's roommate, and he knows him well. But you have the idea, too, that he's pretty much been an apprentice with Barry Trotz. Yep. So to think about what it – now, I don't know what direction Eiserman's going to go, but if you look at Tampa, he went with Guy Bouchard, who was – new in the NHL, and then when the 1-4 didn't work out anymore, he got rid of him. And then what does he do? Well, he takes a huge risk in John Cooper, huge risk, and well, it paid off. Mm-hmm. I've kind of felt that Lambert is that guy. I think he, to me, like logically, sits there. I don't know anything outside of that, but Todd McClellan too. I am in love with that man because the most efficient power play they had was him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the talent, but look at what he's done in other stops.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough to see him go when he left.
Yep.
Good things there in LA and it was tough to see him go for sure.
What about Dave Tippett, guys?
Dave
Tippett? I couldn't resist. I had to. Sorry, Kenny.
To be fair, I don't think he's the problem, but holy cow.
Coming undone here. I will end this topic with this. Come on, do we not see what's happening in Detroit here? You got Eiserman as GM, you got Draper with the team. Maltby was just at Gila River Arena the other day as a scout for the Wings. Yep. They brought in Nicklas Lidström, and you're telling me Igor Larionov isn't gonna be the next coach?
Or Fedorov? Yep. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, that'd be a great way to get his number retired. Too. Yep. Uh-huh. I can't say no if he's right there. Uh-huh. I love it. We're on. I love it. Actually,
I would like to be a fly in the room with Jimmy Devolano if Sergei Fedorov waltzes in and gets the head coaching job.
With walking down the aisle like Vince McMahon.
that's my best Jimmy Devolano. All right. We've been doing good. We got one more topic. Let's bring it home. Let's finish strong. I love it. I got a question from a good friend of the show, Paradox Destroyer. Hi, Paradox. And this is the question of the hour, right? Because everybody is eagerly awaiting Jacob Vrana's return. Who gets bumped from the lineup when Vrana returns? And I think we started with you, Devin, last time. So, Nate, we're going to come to you first. Who gets bumped once Vrana returns? And also, he will miraculously, apparently, fix Zadina's game.
Or is it a stroke of complete irony that Blashill gives makes Zadina the healthy scratch?
Yep.
Back. Honestly, I don't even know where to go because there's three or four different candidates that could go. Adam Ernie, maybe a couple days, not or a couple games. I don't think anything permanent. Giovanni Smith, but he's been the mucker and grinder in there that's really been kicking at the hornet's nest when it needs to be kicked. I think Valeno. I think you could, that might be Devin where he goes back to Grand Rapids and they let him get his legs back a little bit? That's a great question. I think you have three or four different guys that it could, mm-hmm. it could potentially be. Even maybe, I don't think Gagne. I think you need that right-hand shot.
But, yeah.
You know, I think ironically it might be Zadina, but you never know.
Those are fair points. The only reason I would think maybe it won't be Zadina is because of the argument everybody's been making. Granted, I don't think Verana is going to have all the difference in the world in Zadina's game. If we're dependent on one player to do that, the team's in trouble. But there's certainly an argument to be made, and Blashill would probably want to see that out. So I definitely lean towards the Valeno camp on that, just for reasons that we talked about earlier in the show, in fact. But Devin, you've got the final word of the show this week. Who gets bumped from the lineup when Verana returns?
I try to look at this through Blash's eyes because I know what I would do, but Jeff Blashill doesn't always do what I would do. And I genuinely think that it might be Zadina because think about it this way. The first line with Bertuzzi and Larkin and Raymond doesn't usually get touched. It's been touched the last couple of weeks, or last week or two. Bertuzzi's been on that second line with Fabbri and Suter. But for the most part, that first line doesn't get touched.
Yep.
That third line doesn't usually get touched with Rasmussen, Nemesnikov, and Ernie. So you've got a second line, which has Fabbri, Suter, and Zadina on it, and a fourth line, which you're not going to put Jacob Vrana on the fourth line. So even if you take out someone for the fourth line, you got to bump somebody down. And I don't know, I guess what you could do is you take somebody from the fourth line out, but then you're probably going to put Zadina on the fourth line and defeat the whole purpose.
Yep.
So I think that, I think Blash is going to take somebody from the top nine out. I genuinely do. And I also wouldn't be surprised if the Red Wings make a deal between now and when Vrana's ready to go. As we're, you know, talking about this, this is a tricky situation. It's not as easy as pull out Giovanni Smith and there you go.
Yep.
I think you might need to create a hole to plug Vrana into it.
Yep. And the reason, Devin, I was going to say that I said you had the last word, but I'm going to say one more thing. don't discount a deal. And what triggered that in my mind was Nemesnikov. Yep. I'm relatively confident Nemesnikov's going to get moved because I don't think his stock is going to be any higher in his career moving forward than it is right now. So I'm so glad that you said that because that's how I was kind of going to wrap things up because don't discount that. There's a good chance that he can slide right in because there's a hole because
Zadina's not traded either.
That's fair. That's fair. Well,
and there, you know, and I just jinxed it at the beginning of the show. Maybe there was an injury. So
that too. So much room for activity. So many different options that could take place. So that is really good stuff, guys. This was a really good show. Thank you at home for joining us. In case we haven't convinced you with our first two plugs, sign up for the Morning Skate newsletter. You're going to get to relive all of Wes McCauley's most legendary moments as NHL referee. 5 minutes for fighting. It's the kind of content that puts a smile on your face, just like we're doing right now. Join the fun at MorningSkate.io. Don't forget to like and comment. Thank you so much for coming back to us week after week. We'll see you next time. Cheers.